told me that you are having this meeting this evening and wondered if I'd like to come, and it's a great privilege to come. And then he phoned up and said, would I like to say something for 5 minutes? This building really is an illustration of what true conversion is, because the outside is pretty nearly the same, but inside is totally transformed. And that's what true conversion is. Mind you, our faces do change when we convert it. If we were grumpy before, we are joyful now. But the work of God is inside. One day, of course, our bodies will be complete. We'll be glorified when the Lord comes, and we'll be resurrected on that day, and we'll have new bodies to fit our new souls. But I was converted in 1954 through the preaching of Billy Graham. Billy Graham was 99 yesterday. So I'm told. I didn't send him a card because I didn't know in time. But I was converted through Billy Graham. Then I went to Bible College. And then I came to preach here at a Harvest in 1957. And then they asked me if I would become the pastor of the church here. So I started here in March 1958 and was here till March 1965, 7 years, and God did bless us and encourage us. We were about 40 when I came, and we were about 70 when I left. So there was growth. There were plenty of chapels in Newbridge, four congregational chapels, 3 Baptist, 2 Presbyterian, 2 Methodist, Church of England, a Catholic, a Presbyterian, a Pentecostal, and an Apostolic. So there were plenty of chapels, but most of them have closed now. But I'm so pleased that you were able to obtain this building and it's been transformed and it's a place of worship once again. When our first baptismal service we had, of course, we worshipped downstairs and there was a gallery on both sides here and at the back here. But the first baptismal service we had, we filled the pool on the Saturday night, and then when we came in on Sunday morning, it was empty. It had leaked. So we had to have the baptismal preaching and teaching in the morning, and while we were there, the baptistry was being filled up, and we baptized in the afternoon. I was enabled. Remember, I was only 23 when I was ordained here, so I was full of life and energy, unlike today. I'm toddling around. I notice that I've got a different dress code from most of you. But these are my working clothes. I took a funeral this afternoon. This is what I'm comfortable in. The Lord doesn't look at what we wear. He looks at our hearts, isn't it? As long as what we wear is decent and honoring his name. But I was enabled by the Lord to visit nearly every house in Bryn Mawr in the first couple of years that I was here. And then we used to have Sunday school marches here in Bryn Mawr. We'd have the men, and then the ladies, and then the children behind. And all the chapels used to parade around the town singing. A friend of mine from Holland, who married one of our young girls, turned her out. He and I would be walking in front of our church, holding banners with texts up. And that was quite an innovation in those days. I also visited all the pubs in the town here. There were lots of pubs. Gave out leaflets to everyone. There weren't so many people in the pubs. They were in the clubs. But I remember we went into one pub at the top of the street here. And as I went in, there were only about half a dozen men. And somebody playing the piano. And he must have recognized me, the pianist, when I came in, because he began to play hymns. As soon as I came in, he began to play. And then he told me that his grandfather had been a bishop in Durham or whatever. But I said, you know, because he was a bishop doesn't make you a Christian. You need to be converted. And I also, for 3 or 4 years, had a bookstall on the market, on the market square, in the open air, just before Christmas, selling Christian books Christmas cards with texts in them. And I did that for 3 or 4 years. It was a time when Most of you wouldn't remember this because you're too young. It was a time when Lady Chatterley's Lover was published, and they had a big court case allowing them to publish it, and lots of people came to see, do you have Lady Chatterley's Lover? And of course I was able to say, no, but I've got a greater lover than that. I've got the Lord Jesus. And so one was able to reach people like that. The people here were very kind to me. Remember, I'd only been converted for 4 years when I became the pastor. I was as green as grass, but they let me do anything as long as I did it. So we had a campaign in the second year with a man called Don Summers. And then we had a campaign for children in the second year. And we were very outward-looking evangelistic, as I'm sure you are. And I'm sure the Lord will bless you. And I'll be interested to hear from David how things are going. Thank you so much for inviting me to come. The Lord bless you.
Thank you, Jim. Lord, we want to thank you for Jim being here tonight. And we pray a blessing upon him, upon his family, Lord, and upon his continuing ministry in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Bless you. Thank you for sharing.
I forgot to mention, I came here as a single man. And in 18 months, I married my wife. And we have three sons, 8 grandchildren, and 3 great-grandchildren. And one of my sons is an associate pastor in Southampton in Above Bar Church. So we rejoice in that indeed. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Jim. That's a blessing. Wow, we've got our work cut out to keep up with that, haven't we? Going to every house in Bryn Mawr and every pub. Well, I've been to one of the pubs the other day, but yeah, to be to every single place. That's amazing. That's such a testimony, a witness. Hallelujah. Let's have that same passion for each place that we're part of today, and let's go with the gospel. Well, it's lovely to have Colin with us tonight from Manchester. Colin's worked as part of New Frontiers family of churches for many years, and he's been involved in church planting and leadership. And it's just great to have you with us. Is it 4 churches that there are in Manchester at the minute that you're... Oh, it's 12, is it? All right, more than that. There we go. I'm downplaying him. I should have done my research beforehand, should I? Let's give him a great big round of applause, shall we?
It's great to be here. It's great to hear the story of your ministry here. I was born 2 years before you came here. And Don Summers and many people that you mentioned have been a real blessing. And I remember coming in here with Stuart a few years ago when he just, I think, acquired the right to move in here. And I remember walking around thinking, wow, you've got more faith than me. It's fantastic when you can stand next to someone who's painting a big dream and you think, God bless you. God is with you. I am just in awe at what God has laid on your heart. And then the privilege this evening to come and just preach a word to you is just a great honor. I think what God says is this, that he can use any person, whether they've been to Bible college like we have or raised kids, you know, in all walks of life, man, woman, boy or girl, God can use anybody, and anybody that he gives the gift of faith for and a dream, actually he will bless. That's great news for the kingdom of God. It's great news for this society here. It's great news for Wales and the United Kingdom. It's great news for Europe. It's great news for the world that actually God can use anybody. And the story of church history is that that is exactly what God used. And whether we've been celebrating this year about Luther and the whole Reformation and years of what God has been doing just through a man who effectively stood up and felt God speak to him and looked at the word. And I just want to bring a few words, and it's from the book of Numbers. And as the people of God were going through the desert and with this big dream, and the big dream was this, that we would go to the promised land, the land that God promised Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the land that Joseph, in his dying days, said, take my bones with you out of Egypt back to the promised land. And so about 2 million people, can you imagine leading 2 million people? You know, it's just a phenomenal, going across the desert 40 years. And as they were going, God spoke to Moses, and he said to Moses, tell Aaron, the high priest, and his sons to bless the people of Israel with this blessing. And I want to use this blessing for you here in Brahmar, and I want you to use this blessing for the people in this town. You see, this blessing was for the people, but God wanted to bless not only the people of God, but the people of God would be a blessing to all the nations. And what this building represents is a house for the people of God. One of the prayers emphasized that it is the people. But God uses a building like this to let us meet in. But God wants to bless us so that we can be a blessing. Whether it's in the jobs club, whether it's in helping people who are in homes, whether it's helping with gifts of mercy, whether it's taking funerals, which is a massive gift of mercy, actually. A special place, actually, to bring the love of God and the kingdom of God. God wants us to be a blessing. And so it says this. This is what you're to say. May the Lord bless you. You know, my wife sneezes a lot. And she used to have this amazing big sneeze that kind of shook the house, you know. And every time we would walk down the road and she sneezed, someone would go, bless you. And you know what it did is it devalued the word blessing for me. So there's some biblical words that actually become used in different kind of places. And actually, it becomes just a term. Do you understand? And sometimes we can say, bless you, brother, or bless you, sister. And it's like a greeting. But when God told Moses to teach the priest to give this blessing, it was much stronger than that. And Calvin says this about this blessing. It's the goodness of God in action. So when you say, bless you, brother, what you're actually saying is, God, let your goodness act now on this person. That's a stronger thing. Let what is all about you, God, come to bear on this person, on this people. That is fantastic. And when the people use this word in the Old Testament, when the writers use this word, it was always with a kind of prosperity in mind. It was to do with kids. If you bless someone, you were saying, give them many children. It was give them much land. It was, let prosperity come to you. Now, I'm not preaching a prosperity gospel. Do you know? I'm not basically saying we pray and, you know, you get kind of coins from heaven. But what I'm saying is this. When we pray God's blessing on them, we are really saying, God, would you prosper that person? Would you prosper their soul? Would you prosper them in life? You know, and that little incident that was talked about at the very beginning about the job club here. today. We're asking God to prosper people, aren't we? We're asking God, help people back to work. Help industrialists start new businesses. Help lots of people to bring a blessing. It's a strong word, isn't it? It's not a kind of glib religious term. It has real impact. And so God was saying this, Aaron, bless the people of God. And I want to say this to each one of you, the Lord bless you. Can you turn around to the person next to them? Can you say this after me? One, two, three. The Lord bless you. Now, I'm going to ask you to do one other thing. I'm quite finished to preach, but this, I want us to now bless Bryn Mawr. Can you stand? And can you kind of look outwards? Shall we pray now this blessing on the people out there? Can we do that? We're going to start after three. The Lord bless you. Can we do that? One, two, three. The Lord bless you. Okay, let's just sit down. Thank you. And protect you. You know, we need the protection of God. It's a difficult world we live in. I had yesterday, a dear brethren couple who had come to take the funeral of a friend of theirs, an old couple, literally died on the way back from a car crash. I think it was on the M6. You know, tragic things happen. Difficult things happen. And there's a prayer here. And protect you. And I just want to pray that over you here. We're celebrating what God has done. And that is great news, isn't it? But the Lord protect you. That's a great prayer. And then it says this, may the Lord smile on you. Moffat says this, he translates these words, may the eternal smile on you and favour you. May the eternal befriend you. The smile of God. There's a lot of damnation in the world. There's a lot of judgment in the world. There's a lot of judgment in the world. And there is going to be a judgment day when Jesus comes again. But you know what? There's the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ at work. And the love of God. And the fellowship of His Holy Spirit at work in our lives. And this prayer is this, may the Lord smile on you. You know, some of us need the smile of God. You know, we've had two or three babies born in the church that I run my... I think I've got six grandkids and one on the way. I had to say think. I just had to think because they are coming fast. And babies love a smile, don't they? There's something they respond to. And you know what? That never changes. That never changes. Whether you're a baby or you're 80 or 90, responding to a smile. There's something fabulous about it, isn't there? What if this, that the God Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, smiling upon you today? You know, that is the gospel. The gospel that our God loves us so much that He turned that smile into the death of His Son. That actually we can receive everything that God has for us. I want to pray this, that you would receive the smile of God. You know, some of us are struggling to receive the smile of God. We kind of feel we're not worthy. A baby doesn't think that. A baby just looks at you. And you spend all your time trying to get a response, don't you? Visual aid. People in this town need the smile of God. They need to know God loves them. That's what it's about here. It's not about just the renovation of a building, and we thank God for absolutely what God has done here. We thank God for the faithfulness and the faith that has made this happen. But actually, this is small fry to the smile of God on the people, that they may respond to the loving hand of God. Too many people see God in a negative way. Our Father, Abba Father in heaven. That's what Jesus said. That he's referring almost to this, you know. Let the smile of our Father in heaven be with us. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord be gracious to each one of you. And may the Lord show you his favor and give you his peace. Isn't this a great prayer? And I've felt God just speak to me that this is his prayer for you. He wants this prayer to be your prayer for each other. And he wants this prayer to be the prayer of this church and the churches in this community for the people in this community. Because God said this to Abraham, I'm going to bless you so that you will be a blessing to all the nations. That's the inheritance of the people of God. That is our inheritance. That when we walk out of here, we are a blessing. How many of you go into your school, your whatever it is, and actually think, hey, I have the privilege of being a blessing. I'm a blessing. I'm God's blessing here. You know, it's an amazing thought. And that's our inheritance. That's how we can transform the world. Each one of us carrying the blessing of God, the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I will give you, and he will give you his peace. Peace is such an important thing in today's society. You know, we've just planted some churches into the student world of Manchester. We have churches in the very poorest area. I mean, really, really poor areas and different areas. And when you go into the student world, there's some great things there about it. We've got albums that are being done. We've got about 100, 150 young people, students. And there's a lot of things that just look so fabulous, do you know? I tell you this, the thing that's sadly lacking in loads of people's lives is peace. The suicide rate of boys 18 to 25 is high and going up. Just lack of peace. In our society, you know, don't you? People are troubled. Some people won't even open their doors at night just because they're scared. That is personal. Then there's the whole world scene, isn't there? And you know what? We have a prayer. Lord, give you peace. We want peace in our hearts. We want people to have peace in their minds. We want society to be at peace with one another. We want enmity to go. That's what the gospel's all about, that young people would live in peace with their parents, and parents would live in peace with their children. That's a promise of the Holy Spirit. This building is all about this. What God wants to do with this community is all about this. I am privileged to come from the other side of the border. I feel like, hey, what right have I got to be here with you? But we're all part of one family. And it is a privilege, I want you to hear that, for me to be here. It's a privilege when I talked to Stuart and he told me and showed me pictures of this. And I was humbled in my heart thinking, as I started to say, how little faith I had. I saw the enormity of the task and thought, wow. And so you look at something and you just are in awe at the congregation here. And I just want to commend you. I want to say what God put in your heart, he has brought to completion. But you know, it's only part way. And it's part of a bigger history. That's what we've learned. This gospel has been preached from this building for many decades. And the privilege now, with it being renovated, is it's got loads more decades to go. Can I pray for you? Lord, I just want to thank you that you bless us and keep us. That your face, your smile shines upon us. I want to thank you that you are gracious to us. And I want to pray, Lord God, for anybody here who lacks peace. I want to pray, may the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you now. May the peace of Christ be with you. And Lord, I want to pray and bless this community around Bryn Mawr. I want to pray, Lord, would you bless them? I want to pray where people are not at peace now. I want to pray, God, would they find hope in the gospel? Would they find new life in the gospel? I want to pray, Lord God, would there be peace amongst families and communities? Lord, I want to pray, would you prosper with jobs and wives and husbands and children? Lord God, in every area of life, I want to pray, God, would you provide? And would you allow your children here to be a blessing as they have been blessed by Almighty God. Amen.